Welcome to the Healthcare Compliance Pod. My name is Susan Freed. I'm a healthcare attorney and your host. I understand how difficult compliance can be, especially for small providers where oftentimes the compliance officer wears multiple hats. Every day, I work with compliance professionals, probably a lot like you, who are dealing with increasingly complex issues and oftentimes doing it with less resources. That's why we created this podcast. Each week, I'll share a simple, actionable tip designed to elevate compliance within your organization and hopefully make your job a little bit easier. Whether you're new to compliance or just looking for some new ideas, this podcast was created with you in mind. I am so happy you joined me today because I'm sharing my number one piece of advice for compliance officers. I want to set this up by telling you a quick story. I had a CEO of a client once call me up asking me to take their compliance officer to lunch. This particular compliance officer was relatively new to their role and to the organization. After about a year, it wasn't going very well, and there was a lot of conflict between him and other members of the staff, especially members of the senior leadership team. As the CEO described it to me, he's acting like the FBI and my staff feels under attack. What was happening was the compliance officer was taking his role in finding and fixing noncompliance really seriously, which is fantastic. And as a healthcare attorney, I love hearing that. But he was approaching it in a way that isolated him and put him at odds with almost everyone else within the facility. The way he went about it and his approach made his colleagues feel like he was more interested in getting them into trouble than helping them. As a result, they were trying very hard to avoid him, and he was the last person they wanted to call if they did discover a problem or had a compliance question. This is worst case scenario for the effectiveness of your compliance program. If people don't feel comfortable asking the compliance officer questions or going to the compliance officer with problems, they'll probably do one of two things: either do nothing or try to handle it themselves. Both of these are problems. Doing nothing is a problem because if there is a compliance issue, we want to find it and fix it. Self-reporting and self-correcting are always desirable over a regulator or whistleblower reporting or finding it. Doing nothing also potentially allows the behavior to continue, which just increases the consequences to the organization once it is found. Even if it's an isolated occurrence, you miss out on a potential training opportunity. Handling the issue on their own is also a problem because that person may not have the necessary expertise to address the issue appropriately. I had a case once where a well-intentioned employee tried to fix an issue by creating new medical record documentation and backdating it. In her mind, she was helping, but in the government's mind, she was creating false documentation, which ultimately led to a very expensive, very long, drawn-out criminal fraud investigation. While an employee may understand how to correct the problem, they may not be aware of other implications, like self-reporting requirements or the broader implications of the issue, like, for example, if the compliance issue results in an overpayment from government payers that have to be quantified and returned. Another problem with employees doing nothing or handling matters on their own is you lose the benefit of having one person or the committee within the organization aware of all the various compliance issues that are coming up, which is really important to ensure noncompliance is handled consistently and to identify patterns or areas where additional training or resources might be needed. Having a compliance officer very focused on finding and fixing wrongdoing isn't unusual, since finding and fixing noncompliance is literally one of the most important job duties for the compliance officer. Also, compliance officers, probably more so than anyone else in the organization, are hyper aware of the high cost of noncompliance. So legitimately, they want to make sure things are taken care of and done right. But because, as you all know, it's impossible for the compliance officer to be everywhere and to be aware of absolutely everything happening within the organization, they have to do their job in a way that engages the rest of the organization and makes employees want to come to them for help or when they have a question or a concern. That's why this week's tip is specifically for compliance officers, and it's my number one piece of advice, especially for those of you who are new to this role. Be a problem solver, not a prosecutor. You want people to view you as someone who's going to help them solve problems. You want to be seen as a helper, not a handcuffer. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting you convey that there will never be any consequences to someone who reports compliance issues. Sometimes there will be consequences, including potentially disciplinary action. That's always a possibility. I also want to make it clear that I'm not suggesting that you downplay how serious noncompliance and the associated penalties can be. It's really important that employees respect and understand how serious the consequences can be for noncompliance, but we do want to make sure they know that the consequences are likely going to be far, far worse if they don't reach out to you as the compliance officer for help. Ultimately, you want to be sending the message through how you act and communicate with your coworkers that your role is to be a resource for them and to help them and the organization be successful, not someone who's just looking to catch them doing something wrong. Being viewed internally as a problem solver instead of a prosecutor is probably something you're going to have to continually work at throughout your career. Simply because by the very nature of your job, you're going to be the point person investigating complaints and noncompliance and overseeing internal audits. So there's going to be a tendency for people just to view you in more of a police officer or prosecutor role. Here are some ideas, though, on how you can gain more of a problem solver type reputation. First, make sure you're approachable. Get to know the people you work with. Make time to talk and listen to them. Establishing those personal connections and relationships can really help your coworkers feel more comfortable coming to you with their questions and their problems. I know this can be difficult in today's environment where everyone seems very busy at all times. And a lot of people are working remotely, which can make it a little more difficult to establish genuine relationships and conversations. But look for opportunities to be present and engage with them on a personal level. In my client's example, this particular compliance officer didn't live in the area and also worked remotely once in a while, so wasn't building relationships with his colleagues, which just contributed to the problem. Second, pay close attention to how you're branding yourself and the compliance program. You want to be branding yourself and the program as resources to help solve problems and set people and the organization up for success. When you are doing compliance trainings, instead of just focusing solely on a long list of rules and all the scary consequences that can happen from violating those rules, make sure you explain to them exactly why you have a compliance program and how it's there to help and to help the organization. Then give them very specific ways you can help them. I also saw an article once that described the compliance officer as a, quote, friend. That's another great way to think about it. Explaining to them, hey, here's how the compliance officer can be your best friend and be a real asset to you in your position. Third, when a compliance issue does come up or you want to proactively audit an issue, you actually have to act like and be a problem solver. In the example I gave earlier, the compliance officer was doing a lot of proactive auditing. Again, something that I love and would applaud as a healthcare attorney, but doing those proactive audits in a way that made the rest of the leadership feel like he was out to get them and looking for their screw-ups. Proactive audits are absolutely a critical part of your compliance program. But you want to be sure the leaders involved understand the why behind what you're doing and how it's ultimately going to benefit them. And it's critical you involve them in the audit process. A lot of this is just in how you frame what you're doing and why. You don't want to just go off and conduct an audit on your own and then present them with a long list of mistakes that you found. Let me give you an example. Let's say I'm a hospital compliance officer and I attend a national conference where a speaker says that CMS is really cracking down on compliance with the No Surprises Act and specifically the requirement to give uninsured patients a good faith estimate. I go back to my hospital and decide it would be wise to make sure that we are meeting this requirement. So I know that the CFO led the implementation of this and worked really close with the clinic director to roll it out. But instead of talking to them about this risk area and my desire to do this audit, I just go out and do it myself. I visit the various clinics, I talk to the staff, I ask them questions about how they're giving out the good faith estimates and what their processes are. I then watch them do this for a few days and observe their processes, and then I go and randomly select some medical records of uninsured patients to see how many of them actually got the good faith estimate like they were supposed to. After doing that, I gather all my findings, and at the next senior leadership team meeting, I announce to everyone that I looked at our compliance with the good faith estimate rules and found, shockingly, that about half of the patients did not get one when they were supposed to, and our processes are woefully inadequate, and we haven't adequately trained staff on them. Now, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but hopefully you get the point. A better way for me to have handled this issue would be for me to take the information I learned at the conference directly to the CFO and the clinic director and suggest that this would be a really good area to proactively audit because it's an enforcement priority of CMS. I should then work with the CFO and the clinic director to put together the audit plan, including who's going to do the audit and specifically how's it can be going to be conducted. Who are we talking to? Which records are we spot checking? Once that audit is done, I should then work with the CFO and the clinic director on reviewing the findings and identifying ways we're going to address the deficiencies. Many times you're going to have supportive leaders who are grateful that you are identifying potential issues and including them in the process, but not necessarily always. So let's say I go to the CFO and the clinic director and they either have a really bad attitude or they're not interested in having this issue audited and don't want my involvement. In that situation, I would advise giving those leaders another chance by going back to them at least one more time to explain again the benefits of a proactive audit and why you want to do one in that area. But if that still doesn't work, in this particular case, since we're talking about the CFO and the clinic directors, I would probably suggest going to the CEO and just candidly saying, hey, I really want to do this audit and here are the reasons why. I've talked to the CFO and the clinic director a couple of times and they're not very supportive of it. Can you help me navigate this issue with me, or what's your advice? Now, you want to be careful that you're not doing this in an accusatory way. And if you're the CEO, it's really important that you handle this in a way that doesn't damage the relationship between the compliance officer and these individuals. So you need to handle it delicately. In this particular case, you don't want them to feel ambushed, and you don't necessarily want them to realize that the compliance officer has gone directly to you about this issue. So there are a couple ways, I think, in this particular circumstance that the CEO could handle it. First, they could say, that's a good idea. I'm supportive of this too. Why don't you try throwing it out during a senior leadership team when you present what you learned at that conference? And I will weigh in with my support. We can discuss it as a group and we can hopefully together get them on board with this plan. If that's really not a potential, another way to approach it is by contacting the outside legal counsel and asking them if they've heard anything about this audit possibility from CMS or this enforcement priority, and ask them to send you something as the CEO, identifying it as a risk area. And then the CEO could present that to the rest of the group, say, hey, I heard that this is an enforcement priority. I realize our compliance officer has heard something similar. Why don't we target this for an audit? In both cases, you can kind of reintroduce the topic in a setting that doesn't make the CFO and clinic director feel like they're being attacked or someone's going around them. Sometimes that might not be possible, and you just have to have a candid and hard conversation potentially. But again, trying to do it in a delicate way where you're trying to preserve that relationship between everyone as much as possible. If you're the CFO or the clinic director in this case, please be receptive to these types of audits and issues. Again, no one is trying to accuse you of doing any wrongdoing. We just want to make sure when we've identified areas that are high risk areas or where we potentially could have compliance issues, that we are consistently looking at those, auditing those to identify any problems. Again, it's helpful for the organization and for everyone when we do those types of activities. I want to be really clear, being a problem solver does not mean that you're going to gloss over and not report misconduct. Sometimes in your role, you'll have to do an investigation into a compliance issue and it's going to reveal misconduct. You'll obviously be reporting that internally for disciplinary decisions by the appropriate people like HR or your CEO. So by no means, when we are trying to convey this message that we're a helper and a problem solver, we don't want to send the message that there's not going to be consequences for noncompliance and that we won't report those or we'll gloss over them. When you do get complaints or reports of potential concerns and you're going to do an investigation, it's natural that the employees involved that you're going to be interviewing may be more likely to view you in the light of a police officer or prosecutor, especially if they don't know you very well on a personal level. There are some things that you can do to help this type of situation. When I do an investigation like this, I try to start by getting the person more comfortable with me and what we're doing and trying to accomplish. So one of the first things I do after I do the introductions and all those preliminary disclosures about who I represent and privilege issues and Upjohn warnings, I talk about the purpose and the goal of the interview. I like to explain that the organization has a compliance program because of how highly regulated it is. And a really crucial part of that is to have a program that allows people to report concerns as well as investigating potential issues that are identified so that if there is noncompliance, it can be fixed. I then try to explain how it's really important that people are open and transparent with me so that I can figure out if there is an issue and help get that fixed. If there's a sensitive issue that you're investigating or there's a potential compliance issue that could have really serious consequences or involve senior leadership, oftentimes the organization is likely to ask outside counsel to investigate that. That does give you as a compliance officer the benefit of protecting you from having to do that investigation. It also protects the investigation under attorney-client privilege, which is good. A lot of times we advise keeping the internal compliance officer out of that type of an investigation just because of the situation that it does involve. Once the investigation is concluded, though, then the compliance officer can come in and help with the action plan to remedy and address that issue and can work with leadership and staff on implementing those action items that come out of that investigation. This just begins to scratch the surface of the compliance officer's role. We're going to talk a lot about this issue on the podcast, but for this week, I want you to remember this tip. As much as possible, make sure you're viewing your compliance officer role as a helper and a problem solver, and you're effectively communicating this and branding yourself and the program so that others think of you in this light too. This is going to help you gain the trust of your colleagues and make it more likely that they're going to come to you with questions and concerns. That's ultimately going to make your compliance program more effective, which is what we're all striving for. That wraps this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining me. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast either on our website, thehealthcarecompliancepod.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'd also love to hear from you. You can connect with me via the website or on social media. Remember, compliance doesn't have to be complicated or costly, but it does have to be consistent. I'll be here next week, and I hope you will too.